Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Joining us on the Harbor One Bank Hotline is Peter King from Football Morning in America. Peter, brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? And by ElizabethGrady.com. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Dale. Hope you feel better.
Yeah. thankfully, I feel better than I sound. Thank goodness. What's your take from afar on the Spygate 2 story, what happened in Cleveland last Sunday involving the Patriots?
Well, my initial take is it sounds like it is a little bit of a Keystone Cops episode by some team employees that probably didn't know that they were doing something wrong. And that's my initial take. But I do believe that, and I don't care what team was doing this, I do believe that this has to be looked at and investigated seriously. And again, regardless of whatever team does this, and I know everybody says, the Patriots are at it again. I wouldn't care who is doing this. If somebody has allegedly 8 minutes of sideline footage, I would want to know exactly why they were looking at the sidelines for that period of time. On the other hand, I would also say that I would find it pretty surprising if there was any plan to do something nefarious in plain sight with however many people are in the press box that day, 200, 250 people getting credentialed by an NFL team to do this. It seems totally illogical. But again, I'd like to wait and see what the investigation shows.
And as for punishment, Peter, wouldn't you have to say that the Patriots' history would factor in there compared to another team? And even if,
Rich, if there's something, if they can trace John Doe or whoever these employees are to, you know, that they have been trained to do, you know, nefarious things. Well, obviously, the NFL would have to come down hard, and I would think harder because it's the Patriots and because of, you know, the history going back to, 12 years. And so, but again, I think that this really does not pass the sniff test to me. But look, I had one head coach this week say to me, because I basically gave the opinion that I'm giving you right now, and we were exchanging some text messages, and he said, hey, listen, we are always told that the head coach is responsible for what happens in his program. And so he said, I don't know what happened, but if the sideline video is being taken, then that has to reflect on the head coach no matter how it happened. And there are going to be some people, regardless what the decision is by Troy Vincent in the league and ultimately by Roger Goodell, there are going to be some people who are going to be unhappy with whatever happens.
Yeah, even if they only find that it was, you know, a one-off and it was a mistake by somebody who really didn't know what they were doing, could the Patriots still look at a loss of a draft pick, maybe like a late-round draft pick?
Rich, I don't know. Yeah. That would be an absolute wild guess on my part. I don't know. I can't imagine that it would be I was thinking before that it might be some kind of significant fine. But who knows? Maybe it is a sixth round pick. I just don't know. Because I really don't know what is on the tape, and I don't know what's going to be said when the league interviews it, maybe they already have interviewed the Patriot employees involved.
The reports out of Foxborough is that there is no one who was more upset by all of this than Bill Belichick.
Wouldn't surprise me at all, because you have enough trouble getting your team ready to play, particularly in a season like this where they simply cannot find enough answers on offense to get their team going. So now this is sort of, if indeed that it is an absolutely innocent thing, now you have Bill Belichick basically in the middle of preparing for a game, finding out something that regardless of the outcome of it is going to take up some brain space and some time in his life. And that's going to be a maelstrom on the outside. It's just something that he doesn't need, and they certainly don't need.
The Patriots offense has struggled for a little while, but after the Chiefs game, really one of the big topics for the first couple of days, Peter, was the officiating, and there were three huge plays that were just missed. And who knows if it determines the outcome of the game or not, but they were just huge plays that were missed. You could see them clearly on replay. The league has started to talk a little bit more about this. What type of change, or first of all, how big of a problem do you think overall across the league the officiating has been this year? And then what kind of steps do you see them taking to try to correct it?
I don't think officiating overall is any worse this year than it has been, because I think if you look back November, December, every year, I don't know how it would be possible to do a Google search of that, but the officiating has been in crisis every year probably that I've covered the NFL. And I think even more so this year, because they did something that I consider now to be truly dumb, which is they passed a rule in March that they chose for whatever reason to not enforce once the season started. And so once that happened, and now by the looks of the ruling in the Jets Miami game last year or last week, that they may be starting to enforce it now for whatever reason. This is a self-inflicted wound, that part of it. But let's talk about the officiating last week. Here's the thing that, first of all, because two of the plays happened on the same drive, okay, that the Patriots ended up settling for a field goal for, the difference in those two plays, other than a couple of minutes of time on the clock, let's say, that the Patriots would have had because it wouldn't have taken them so long to go down and settle for that field goal. If you look at those two plays, so those two plays basically, you could argue took a touchdown away from the Patriots. So you can only take one touchdown away.
Four points really, Peter. All right. I mean, I'm with you.
Either 3, 4, or 5 points.
Yeah.
Because they might have, you can't absolutely assume.
Sure.
They're probably only going to kick the extra point. But anyway, so let's say 4 points. So that wouldn't have cost them the game. Here's the thing that is maddening about that play. You had the official I'm talking about the N'Keal Harry when he didn't step out of bounds.
Right.
And they ruled
right.
that he stepped out of bounds. The officials, you ask any person who is officiated in the NFL, and I bet going down to high school football, and you know what the mantra is? You have to officiate only what you see. Never assume anything, okay? The guy on the goal line, and I don't have the story in front of me, those two officials are my go-to of the week in my column this week, but the guy at the goal line assumed that N'Keal Harry stepped out of bounds. That would be absolutely maddening to me, and to the point where I'm serious. I would not want that guy officiating in the NFL. Because if that's going to happen once, I don't care how big the moment was. I don't care if this is in a I don't care if this is in the Hall of Fame game. I don't care. You cannot have an official on your staff who officiates because I think I saw something. That just drove me crazy last week.
Within hours of the Patriots-Cowboys game, the NFL came out with a statement and said that there were two tripping penalties which were improperly assessed in that game. I haven't heard a word about Jerome Boger's crew yet.
I mean, what is the NFL going to say? The NFL is going to say the guy blew it at the goal line, which they should do, and they should never have blown that whistle. I will say this about the whistle. Okay, I was talking to Dean Blandino on his podcast this week. And I said to him, I cannot get nearly as mad about the inadvertent whistle as I can about the play, the N'Keal Harry play. That that every time I think about it, it just makes me just furious. But the play on, you know, the quick whistle play, that the ball was shielded so well when the ball carrier went down, and then when Travis Kelce went down on that play, I would have watched that in real time 10 out of 10 and said he was down. Now, is that an excuse? No. But I have a little bit of an understanding about why that happened. I have no understanding about why the N'Keal Harry play was not a touchdown.
The league is coming up with their top 100 players for the celebration of the 100 years of the NFL, and they recently had their 12 finalists for tight end. They're going to whittle that number down to 5. Gronk is on the top 12. For you, would he be in the top 5 all-time tight ends?
Well, he was. I was one of the 25 voters on the panel. He absolutely was among my top 5. We didn't have to vote in order, which I was happy about, because I can't tell you if it came down to, so are you voting Gronk third or Ditka third? I don't know. I mean, you know, do you like vanilla ice cream or do you like Rocky Road? But I definitely think he belongs. I hope he gets in. I think that he was the most important and most consistent weapon of the Patriots Super Bowl era, even though he only played for half the time. And again, obviously Tom Brady is the, right, is the most, I'm talking about, yeah, you know, other than Brady, I think that he was the most dangerous and consistently hard to stop player for the longest period of time. I mean, for 1 year it was Randy Moss, obviously, but to me, I just think he separated himself from every other great tight end of the last 10 years. I hope he makes it. I think he's well deserving.